What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Brian Mazurowski, Joe Beamer here with you on WBEN. Beautiful looking day outside and should be a great weekend. Hope everyone's having a nice one. Sunshine. Joe.
Brian, welcome back.
Thank you. Missed you yesterday, but we're back. We're back with a vengeance, Joe.
That's right.
If we could say that, because I think that's how I would put it. We'll bring on our guest joining us in the Trocare College live line, who's here to answer the question, what does Buffalo have to do with the top show on Netflix right now? Joining us on the line is the Chief Strategy Officer at Ashley Madison, Paul Keeble. Paul, good morning. Thanks for being on with us here on WBEN in Buffalo.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for having me.
So, Ashley Madison, if you haven't heard of it before, you might have heard of it in the past few weeks, a new documentary. It's the top thing on Netflix. I don't know if it's the number one show. I don't know who watches anything on Netflix, but all I do know is that it's the first thing that pops up on everyone's different account when you go to watch it. And Buffalo as a tie-in here, I want to start with that. You're on in Buffalo because you're out with a new list that shows the hot spots for users of the Ashley Madison site, which is for people who are looking for an extramarital affair. Buffalo's number 10 on the list. What exactly is this list? What are you looking at?
Well, every year we like to look at the previous year's signups across America to get a sense of where are people looking for something outside of the traditional monogamous relationship. And then we do a city ranking to sort of give prospective members across the country a sense of where they might find what's missing in their life right now. And it turns out Buffalo is number 10 of hotspots of infidelity as we look towards summer of 2024.
So this is looking at leading into the summer. So for the last few months, Buffalo has ranked in the subscriptions to the website.
It was actually last summer that you guys had the most signups. And so we released the numbers this year to sort of show you this is where you might potentially have a little fun, because clearly within the past year, a whole lot of people in Buffalo were looking for something outside of the confines of their marriage.
Why is it? I mean, do you do any extra research when you find, one place more so than other places are high on your list? I'm looking at this list right now. What's going on in Columbus? They're number one on the list. Do you dive in to figure out why?
Well, we do look at it year over year to sort of get a perspective of what do the trends tell us. And when you look at the rankings, a lot of cities stand out as not places you would expect, Buffalo being one. Columbus, Ohio is our number one city in this year's ranking. So those strike us as a bit off because they're not necessarily places where people assume this type of activity is happening. Like number four, Las Vegas. So I don't think that would necessarily surprise anybody. But what it tells us, and this is something I've come to know being with the company for the past 10 years, is that infidelity is ubiquitous. It is part and parcel of every culture, ethnicity, religion, and economic status. And so it doesn't surprise me to see such a range of cities across in top 20 this year.
Peter, I got to ask you a question. You've got the Netflix documentary out. There was a lot of coverage over the 2015 hacking. How is Ashley Madison still around? Are you guys under the belief that there's no such thing as bad media?
Well, I wouldn't agree with that statement, to be honest with you. Obviously, 2015 represented a low point for our business. But these documentaries that have come out, so Netflix has one right now, and as you said, it's pretty popular. ABC Hulu had one last year that was equally popular. And what it tells us is our brand has resilience. Our business delivers on a need that wasn't being met in society. And, what people don't get about what Ashley Madison really is about is we're trying to deliver on a successful affair, an undiscovered affair. So we're trying to tell people, don't do it where you've traditionally done it. such as the office space, and come and meet someone who's also married so you can have the right opportunity with the right person.
An undiscovered affair. I mean, but this documentary, I have to say, my wife was watching it, and I was watching along, because that's what usually happens in our TV. And it didn't really paint you guys in a good light. And I think everyone at the end had the same question Joe had. How is this company that, you know, secrecy is at the core of it, still in business?
Yeah, it's a great story, to be frank with you. You know, in 2015, there was a lot of pundits and talking heads who said that what had happened was going to be the end of our business. But what a lot of people didn't know, and because I was there at the time, I can tell you this, our signups more than tripled. We were signing up more than 100,000 people a day during that summer. And what it told me is what we offer is in need, is in demand. And if we could just repair the trust that we lost with our membership based on what happened, I felt very comfortable that this business could succeed in the long run. And very clearly, with more than 365,000 people joining every month right now, I think we're doing a pretty darn good job.
Why do you find that people are using your site? Why do people cheat?
Well, that's a great question. And it's wildly misunderstood. So, in fact, we worked with the University of Missouri, a researcher there named Dr. Alicia Walker, and she conducted an independent study. So we had no oversight to it other than giving her access to our membership. And she looked at why do women cheat and why do men cheat? 80% of the women on Ashley Madison were in sexless or orgasmless marriages. And so they were looking to outsource their intimate needs to Ashley Madison. And what's really misunderstood as well is that these women would tell you they love their partner, they love their family, they love their life, they don't want to change that, but their partner is either unwilling or unable to meet their needs. And so that's why they choose us, to preserve their marriage. And what's interesting is that men, for the most part, come to our site for emotional validation. They feel that that element of being desired, being wanted by their primary partner has dissipated or completely evaporated, and so they come to our site to fulfill that missing element. And again, they're not looking to break up their marriage. And I know that causes a lot of consternation, but helping to understand why people come will probably help your marriage.
I got to ask you, you know, you mentioned men and women on the site. I've got to assume that your site has a higher percentage of men than women.
Well, it's always an interesting function of dating sites as a whole, because the experience is very different depending on your gender and, of course, your perspective. So in 2017, we actually brought in the auditing firm Ernst & Young, big, huge global firm, and they took a look at our ratio of active female accounts and active paid male accounts that year. And the ratio then was 1.13 females for every one male. Now, that number changes based on your city, your location. Like, we had a lot of countries across South America where it was two or sometimes three women for every one men. And so it really depends on who you are. But ultimately, you put the right profile together and have a good communication, you dramatically increase the likelihood of matching with the right person for you.
The response that you've gotten since this documentary, I know you've mentioned that you've seen kind of more signups in 2015. You receive all this media attention, and there's more signups now, that it's resilient. Have you noticed the same thing? And I guess, like, when you get somebody signing up, are they typically following through? Are they curious? Are they? What exactly is the behavior of somebody signing up for this site?
So a couple of questions there. I'll address the first one in terms of what changes have we seen. The one thing that has changed over the past, I'd say, 4 or 5 years, is we've seen a fairly significant increase of people who would identify as non-monogamous in a disclosed relationship, meaning their partner is aware of their activities on some level. And we'd say roughly 20% of our membership has been identifying that way to us. That still said, 80% are more in the adulterous space. And as it comes to, you know, the intentions and the behaviors, there's a range of types of affairs. And everybody's looking for something different. And that's, again, part of the misunderstanding when it comes to not only our business, but infidelity in nature. Some people are just looking for a ear to commiserate with, to have a conversation where their spouse is not willing to have that type of conversation. But very much so, people are having physical, real-life affairs. And we hear some amazing stories about how it's women come to us and tell us we're better mothers, lovers, and wives because of their affairs.
Paul, I got to ask you, you said you've been with the company for 10 years. Obviously, a controversial, I mean, as long as I've known Ashley Madison, it's a very controversial website. How'd you find yourself in this position?
You know, I've been in the communications industry for a little over 20 years, and we're a Canadian company, and it was a really unique opportunity to, A, represent a company that is very honest and straightforward about who we are. I mean, our tagline is life is short, have an affair. So we're not pretending to be something that we're not. And the fact, again, as a Canadian company that has such a massive global presence, that's really unique. And so for me, it was a great opportunity to tell a story that, you know, is widely misunderstood, vastly interesting, and, you know, puts me in a position to talk to people like you outside of my hometown, which I love to do.
Your Canadian company, is this going on more up in Canada than here in the States?
You know, what we find is the rates are fairly similar across the world, particularly in Western cultures. But the reality is, while traditional dating changes from country to religion to ethnicity, infidelity is pretty much the same around the world. Some are more acceptable or accepting of it. So our business doesn't do so well in France because there it's expected. It's part and parcel of the culture there. But for the rest of the places where infidelity is still continue to be shamed and judged, we do very well.
Well, Paul, appreciate the time this morning, and it was interesting to see Buffalo on this list. Paul Keeble is the Chief Strategy Officer at Ashley Madison. Thank him for coming on today. Told you we'd have a guest everyone probably hates, but it's popular in Buffalo. Now, there's no, here's the one thing, though. There's no numbers right with this. So are 20,000 people from Buffalo on the site, or are 20 people from Buffalo? You know, like, there, yes. I don't know what that is. It's just top cities. But given the reach, given the, you know, big-time media attention it's gotten, I'm going to believe that's probably a lot of people. And Buffalo's number 10 on this list of summertime signups going back to last year. Does that surprise you when you saw that?
You know what, Brian? Nothing surprises me anymore. I mean, I'm surprised that of all the cities in America, Buffalo somehow gets 10th, right below cities like Tampa and Miami, Orlando, Vegas. But I do have to say something. You know, and I'm not one of these, people. You know, oh, you'll be with one person your whole life. But, you know, have an affair to have a better marriage, I don't buy. I'm sorry. Like, if that's what you want to do, I said this when Tiger Woods, you know, back when his scandal was going on decades ago. You know, if you want to just fool around, why get married? Why bring someone else into it? Especially why have kids? Like, if that's the life you want to have, fine, great. Be single and do all you want to do. But, you know, I cannot buy that line. I had an affair to save my marriage. I just, that line made me cringe. I had to address it.
I mean, I was stunned just to see it because this is based on signups from last year. Top cities for signups. It says nothing, you know, based on population, based on anything like that. And Buffalo's on the list. We're not a big city.
By the way, the only city in New York, Buffalo, on this list. Florida has three cities on this list, right? We obviously know Vegas. There's two in the great state of Colorado, but Buffalo, the number 10 city and the only city on the list in the state of New York.
Well, I don't know. I was stunned to see Buffalo in that. And I mean, at a time when this is being talked about more than...
You've seen the documentary.
I've seen the documentary. It's funny because my wife was watching this. You know, I come down from the shower. She's watching this on Netflix. It's, you know, you log on to Netflix. It's one of the, like, top things in, like, the whatever. Not the queue.
Top 10 today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The what people are watching. Like, that's, it's always one of those things, or it has been for the last week or however long it comes out. And the next day, I get this email in the inbox saying, like, hey, Buffalo is on this list of top summer signups for Ashley Madison's website. So I go, I say, well, we're going to have this person on because people are watching it. Then I started to pay attention to the documentary a little bit, which I wasn't before. I'm like, all right, we're going to talk to this guy. Might as well know a little something about the website and what's happening here. I mean, this documentary, it just, I can't see how anybody, even if you're like, I need an affair, would want to sign up for this website. The documentary was not very, and here I am looking at an email from the company saying, hey, we're the number one show on Netflix. I mean, that's like, it is the definition of shameless promotion. Like, at the end of the documentary goes, it's just a bunch of people going, I can't believe they're still in business. And it leaves you going, well, one, this, it's a terrible concept, and everything that happened is terrible, and everyone who was involved with it felt terrible about their lives, some to the point of suicide.
Yeah.
And then you have, the terrible thing of everyone thought their information was safe, and then it got leaked to the entire world. So even if you liked what was happening there, everything was bad.
Yeah.
And then I get the email like, hey, come talk to us. We're popular in Buffalo. And so, yeah, I had to bite.
And then in his call, he also mentions the ABC News Hulu documentary that, Brian, I thought was even more damaging to Ashley Madison than the Netflix one was. But, yeah, I mean, very telling. I they're obviously, we get our name out there. It is funny, though. Hey, the site that you went on because you can't be trusted, you're upset, couldn't be trusted.
It is almost like karma coming to, right?
I mean,
like, that is the whole, and to hear them now say like, oh, well, the reason people use the site is to go through this and not be caught. The whole scandal was that everyone got caught.
Everyone got caught, yeah.
Like everybody, right? Wasn't it everybody?
Well, I mean, everybody whose significant other accessed the list. I'm sure there's people out there who somehow skated through because their significant other never went and looked them up.
Which would be a lot of people, probably.
Probably,
I mean, why would you? I never looked at the long list of...
No.
I'm not sorting through a bunch of names. Like,
lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
But no, it's there you go.
It's interesting, and you know, the signups are here in Buffalo. And you know what, Brian? To be honest, I'm sure someone hears about the website, and guess what? They visit. I can, as much as I can't see why you would go on here. If again, the whole thing is you don't want to be caught. But at the same time, you hear a website, and guess what? I guarantee someone listened to this and they checked out the website. I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm just saying.
Did these ads used to run during Springer?
Oh yeah. Springer, Stern, Opie and Anthony. That's when I first heard about Ashley Madison during an Opie and Anthony commercial break.
Well, I remember, you know, Jerry Springer being at. They would have all the strange websites, all the, I mean, it was J.G. Wentworth. It was every university or college that had later been sued by the federal government for fraud.
Yeah, ITT Tech.
It was like stuff like this, right? I mean, that would be the Jerry Springer ad.
Yeah.
Which kind of makes sense.
The daytime talk shows were when you would see the, and it was the woman with, you know, the shh, remember the Ashley Madison spots. I remember that, and I can sing the J.G. Wentworth song for you if you want me to.
Was the ad like, hey, are you looking to avoid coming on this show?
What I remember from the TV ad during Springer was it was just images with the radio commercial in the background. Have you ever seen this? That's what the Ashley Madison spot during Springer was. It was the radio spot with images on the TV.
Oh, no. I don't remember it that well, but I remember the name from Jerry Springer. That's
We were planning in college to go to a recording of Springer. It never happened, but that's how much Springer was watched over at Madai College.
Well, there you go. The Buffalo... There are tie-in with the top Netflix show. If you wanted to know,
yeah,
or you wanted to be a little more suspicious,
right? I mean, hey, if you have suspicions, this probably didn't help you.
That's what I was saying. Everyone's going to hate our guest. But if you're driving with your significant other and they don't.
And they're saying, well, he makes some good points.
Antennas up.
Yeah. If your significant other's going, you know, that guy made some good points.
Antennas up. B-Mez and Beamer will be back after the news here on WBEN. Like, that is crazy, Joe, too. And B-Mez and Beamer here on WBEN. We're talking about phones during the break because you might need a new one soon.
Yeah.
I don't need a new one. My wife wants a new phone, but I say, no. I say, you can do whatever you want, but you want my opinion? No, you don't.
Is her starting to get the loose part of the screen like me?
No, it's perfectly fine.
Oh.
It's perfectly fine, if you ask me. We have the same type. We have the same type of phone. And because we pay $60 a month, we own our phones, $60 a month combined, that's our whole phone bill for the month.
Yeah, why start a new payment if you don't have to?
Why do anything? We would not start if I said, if you want a new phone, you have to buy it outright. We're not changing anything about our plan, like whatever. We can buy a new phone.
You don't want to lease a phone.
But then here is like the crazy thing. It's like I was just looking at these old, you know, refurbished phones, and the one is $200. And you said that seems high.
For a four-year-old phone, yeah.
But considering the new ones are $1,000 more.
True. But a refurbished phone, you were looking at refurbished phones that had been previously used, returned for a newer phone. I think 250s. Again, this phone I have now is 6 years old, okay? It is really starting to fall apart. The SIM card's having issues. The screen's starting to lose. Now, that might be me dropping it a few times, but the screen's real. You don't know what the previous user did the last 4 years of that phone.
Well, they're all, you know.
To me, it's a little different than a car.
They're all, certified by someone, some big
company. That's true.
You get some warranty on it. But the whole end up point being, it's amazing. I would be like, $200 for a phone. I don't know. There is probably no item that you use more than the phone.
No.
And like, you'll balk at the price, $200. Meanwhile, like, I see people every Sabres game I was at buying a $250 jersey that they'll wear three times a year.
Right. But the thing they depend on, like, I'll tell you.
like how crazy it is? Like, the thing that you would actually like that, need.
But the funny thing is, when I'm shopping, I don't think like that, even though that's 100% the truth. Like, I don't think like that. Like, I remember, back in my day, I remember when you would re-up your contract, you got a free phone.
Yeah.
You say, hey, I'll be with you for two more years. Oh, well, guess what? The new LG whatever flip phone.
Plastic pieces of junk.
Yeah. And now, like, you don't even get that. Like, hey, if you return your phone, if you give your phone back to us, maybe we'll give you $70 off.
Yeah. Like, I'm not saying that it's not obscene, right? Like, the amount you'd spend on a phone. But of all the things in your life, is the phone the best value? Even if it is $1,000?
Yes. Absolutely.
I kind of think so. Or unless you got a great deal on a great used car, the phone is probably, like, in terms of value per minutes used, or value for how much you depend on it.
Yeah.
I think the phone is probably the best deal that you have.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I felt like I was missing out on life yesterday when my SIM card failed. And I was driving between here and home. I didn't have Wi-Fi between here and home. And I was freaking out. I'm thinking to myself, what am I going to do? What if someone's trying to get a hold? Like, who the hell's trying to get a hold of me, number one? But what if someone's trying to get a hold of me? I don't know. And, you know, that feeling over this phone. But yeah, I'm not paying $700. And like you, I'm not going to pay $5-$6 extra a month. I'm not going to pay... I know people who pay $40 a month for their phone on top of their deal. Yeah. So on top of the bill, you've got an extra $40 a month for 36 months. To me, that's crazy. But then you put it in the perspective of, I mean, we're doing a show. I'm holding my phone right now.
I still think that financing a phone is crazy. But the price tag for what you use it for, again, like I... How much money do we spend on, you know, stuff that we don't use all the time or, you know, whatever? I mean, the hot water tank, that's probably up there.
I think the car's a really good comparison because the car is
something... But it has to be like a good deal on a car. Because cars can... There are cars I see on the road that somebody spent more than what I spent on my house.
Yes.
And it's not like a Lamborghini or something. It's just like a big SUV.
Right.
And then there are like reasonable cars that, especially if you drive all the time and you use it all the time, you're in it all the time, every single day, I think that would apply. But it has to be a certain thing. I think the phone, even the most expensive phone now, at like $1,000-ish, right? Is that on target?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think that probably, even the most expensive one, your value to use little equation, I mean, I think works out better than just about anything.
Because a majority of us will be on that phone every day. The hours spent, if you're not on that phone, you're listening to something on that phone. You're using that phone. I mean, there are still people that use their phone for a hotspot. You know what I mean? Like, you're using that phone more than probably anything you own. You are using that phone more. And yeah, I mean, but I still will not pay $1,000 for a phone.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm the same. Yeah. I'm exactly the same. I'm not going to do it. Would never do it.
But I made the face when you said $250. Ooh. But I mean, even in that perspective, I'm like, that's going to be tough to get out of me. Like, I am riding this phone that I have now until the entire screen is gone.
But don't you, how much do you pay for the Apple Watch?
This was free.
Yeah, but how much do you pay for it?
I have no idea. My wife gave me this. Yeah. This was free with our plan. We both got a free watch.
But you have to have a plan, so now you're paying for it.
No, plan with our phone. My watch does not work if my phone's not nearby. I do not have that plan. I do not have a mobile package for my phone.
But you had to get the plan.
My phone plan that I already had.
Right, but you had to get the
phone
plan.
And they were trying to get rid of these watches. These are old generation watches, and they were, hey, you know, free watch with the plan that you have. And so we took the plan, and we didn't activate anything for the watch. We don't pay a monthly on the watches.
But you pay a monthly for the phone.
For the phone, yes.
That we were locked into.
Yeah, but that we were locked into before.
All right.
Yeah. I don't have the cellular. I will always have my phone on me. So like when I run, I have my fanny pack. I don't need the watch to be its own cell phone.
Let that visual sink in for a moment.
By the way, funny story. A few nights ago, I fell asleep without taking my fanny pack off. Slept all night with the fanny pack on. Just wanted to add that note in.
This is...
The fanny pack's great to run with. It's I actually got the idea, because I used to wear the armband, but Aaron Mitzkowski gave me the idea of the fanny pack, and let me tell you, you get your keys, you got your phone right up against you, good to go.
Why do you need all that stuff when you're running?
When I'm running like a 5K? I'm not just going to leave my keys unwatched.
The one key, you put it in your pocket, you're fine.
Oh, no, you can feel it. And the fanny pack came until I have a fanny pack on.
You can feel one key in your pocket. One key, not your shorts. You bring honestly, your car key.
Honestly, I've never run with just the key in the pocket.
One key you think is worse than a fanny pack.
I don't even realize I had the fanny pack on. I fell asleep in it.
That wasn't the only thing. What were you telling me during the break?
That, oh, two days ago, I left the sink on for 4 hours.
How do you leave the sink on for 4 hours?
Now, and I've done shows on this where my OCD, I go around the house and I check everything before I leave. I forgot I had been in that bathroom. So I had brushed my teeth because I was coming back to work and I didn't want to be offensive. But I had forgotten when I was doing my run around the house, holding my son, by the way, run around the house, check everything. I checked the stove, I checked the kitchen sink, everything I had used downstairs. I had forgotten that I went into my bathroom and brushed my teeth. So then 4 hours later, my wife texts me, hey, you know you left the sink on in the bathroom?
The sink is just not something I'd expect to be left on. Like, the sink for me is it's on and it's off in seconds.
Yeah, Glenn Colton would not be happy. I left the sink on while I was brushing my teeth.
Yeah, like that, it's on and it's off. It's on, zzz, you know, the toothbrush goes under, then zzz, it's on, you know, when you rinse everything out, and then it's done.
Yeah, I honestly still don't remember brushing my teeth, so I don't remember why I didn't just turn it right off.
Shaving, it's on. I could never accidentally leave it on because then the whole sink would overflow.
That's right.
So it's always on and off. But it got me, like, what's the worst thing you've, this is a good one, 803-0930 for people to weigh in on. Like, what's the worst thing you've left on in your house for like hours on end or just totally forgot about?
This wasn't hours on end, but it was a good hour. I left the stove on. We ran out of water bottles. This was a few months ago. Ran out of water bottles, so I didn't want to go to the store at midnight. So we heated up water for bottles overnight if my son had woken up, right? This is when he was still on formula. And I was like, all right, I'll remember this. I'll set it, go to the bathroom, and then I'll come back and see it. Well, I went to the bathroom, and then I lay down on the couch, started watching, wasn't the Mets, it must have been the Sabres game. And I go, what's that noise? I don't know why I did the spelling. It was a noise thing, and it was the water bubbling. Probably 45 minutes later, I finally realized, oh, yeah, I left the stove on.
I've done that before, but on the simmer. That was going to be my answer. The gas stove, and then you turn it to a simmer. Like if you're done, I don't know, you make it tacos or something like that in the pan, and then you turn it real low to the point where you don't even notice the flames are coming out there. That's been on for a while, to the point where it's like later, like you've cleaned up. You're like, oh, well, stove's still on. Hey,
This is going to sound ridiculous, okay? I'm just putting that out there before I even say this. That would scare me more than leaving the stove on high. Because on simmer, what if a big breeze rolls through the house, knocks out the light, and now you've got gas going into your kitchen?
Oh, yeah. It's not good.
No, these are the things. I mean, and again, when I'm done, when I'm leaving, I will sniff the stove to make sure there's no gas coming out, that the things are really off. Like, that's why it's even more impressive that I left the sink running, because I look at everything. I run my hand. Maybe I don't see it. Maybe there's still water coming out. I smell the stove to make sure there's not gas coming out. That's why it's even more crazy that I left the sink on.
The stove one's a good one. We never warmed. You know what we did for the bottle? Just psh, sink. Just there you go.
I know.
Drink up. That's all we got. On the text board, somebody said, this is the one that I'm like kind of thinking of. Left the door open from the upright chest freezer for the weekend. I mean, and then everything's bad. Oh. You got to throw everything out. You probably have it all melted, and then you got to clean out, not just clean out by throwing out everything that was in the freezer, but clean out whatever water or, you know, all gunk that was left behind. That's
a big worry of mine. I always push the doors of the fridge and freezer to make sure, because that's got to be the worst feeling. All that food just gone.
This one is, I never would have thought of this. I'm not a pool owner. I never would have thought of this one, but this is a good one. Someone said they were filling up their pool in the evening, fell asleep, didn't wake up until the next morning, woke up the whole backyard flooded because I forgot to turn the hose off. So then it's like you not only have the water bill, you've got a flooded backyard, and then like then what happens, right? Like then you still have to, you're not supposed to fill the pool to the brim, right?
No. It's supposed to be just above the filter.
So you got to get rid of the water that's in there. I don't know. Like, that's a rough one.
Now, at that point, do you just say, all right, well, the yard's already flooded, so we're just going to bail out the water we need into the yard? You know what I mean? Like, this is already this is already damaged.
It's got to be what you do. And then what do? You just you gotta wait for it to dry up.
No,
Nothing you can do. That stinks.
That's why a lot of people who have pools, you know, if they have a yard that easily floods, will have a drain right next to their pool.
Somebody else on the sink, Joe, they said they were filling the sink to do dishes. Then their husband called them outside, went out completely forgetting to shut the water off. The sink overflowed into the kitchen and basement. It brings up a greater question in my mind. Filling the sink to do dishes. How do you do dishes?
Yeah, I mean, I know back in the day, I can still picture my parents doing dishes. It was, you know, you put the soap on the drain, and then you let the sink fill up, and then you dip a dish in the water, dip it in the soapy water, clean water, dry it off. Obviously, they don't do that anymore. They have a dishwasher, but...
Do you do that? How do you clean the dishes?
If it were up to me, every dish would go in the dishwasher. But apparently, certain dishes don't belong in the
dishwasher. You can't put everything in the dishwasher.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't. Okay. For two reasons. One, not everything can go in the dishwasher. Two, not everything fits in the dishwasher.
Well, you do it. You do a load.
Pots, pans, like all that stuff.
You do a load every other day.
But how? You make one meal, plates, pots, pans, you just have like stuff lying around all the time?
Well, if again, if it were up to me, it'd be in the dishwasher. But so what I do is, you know, like you said, you have a pan, you have the top to the pan, and maybe something else that doesn't go in, quote, air quotes, doesn't go in the dishwasher. I get my little spray soap. I spray the dishes, wipe them down, put them in the drying rack.
I never like the fill up the sink. And that always seemed dirty to me.
Yeah, especially if you're talking about something that had raw meat on it.
It just, ugh. Yeah. I don't think that works. I remember working in the restaurants and we had, it was the three sink system.
Yes.
And the one was like the spray sink. And then there was the soap. It would go, you'd spray, dip it in the soap water,
yep.
Spray, and then dip it in the sanitizer water, and then put out to dry.
On the rack, yeah.
I would never clean any of my dishes at home the same way.
I have to say,
Didn't clean it.
I mean, I've for a long time now been on the spray stuff, you know, not the old school, cover the sink and then let the water run over it. But I can't imagine doing the sink thing just because, to me, it's, you've got stuff that touched the raw meat, which you should be washing while you're cooking, but sometimes you can't. And then you've got the stuff that's dirty. Yeah, I like to just thing by thing, spray it, let it sit for a second, and then rinse it off.
That is, yeah, that's, I wash, I scrub everything, rinse it out with water again. I probably waste more water, let the water run the entire time I'm doing the dishes, but at least the dishes are clean. The person texted in, what's the point of having the dishwasher if you have to practically wash the dishes before you put it in anyhow?
I don't
with mine, but I do not understand, and this is maybe the manual I should have read. I have the dishwasher at home.
Mm-hmm.
The dishwasher, which, by the way, is something you shouldn't leave on if you're not at home because...
could flood.
Well, that, but ours almost caught on fire.
Oh.
One time. The, like, spinny thing fell onto a coil and, like, started smoking and everything. Thank God somebody was home. We had to get a new one. it was broken. But there's all these buttons. There's all these modes. I don't know what any of them mean. I just use... the regular thing,
start.
All the time.
Yep.
And once every five times, I'll pull the dishes out and be like, what the heck happened? This isn't clean. I gotta I'll either put it back in or just clean it myself.
So what happened?
I don't know.
Oh, you still don't know?
I don't think I did anything differently. Just every once in a while, it doesn't like doing the dishes. It's like it's like a bad way of doing the
Does
dishes.
Does it not release the soap?
I don't know what happened. I mean, the soap's there. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah, dishwasher, dryer, wash. I never leave those things on if I'm not home. I'm just too scared.
Yeah,
fire, flood. Yeah, no thank you.
I become the same way. I'll unplug the toaster. My wife leaves the toaster plugged in.
Oh.
Which, I know I've talked about this before we go. We got a new toaster. This is the biggest change in my life in the last, 6 months. New toaster. And I was complaining about the toaster because she got this new toaster, and I called it the Studebaker of toasters because it's the biggest thing
nice.
Sitting on the kitchen counter. And now it's an issue because now my wife goes, oh, I hate when the toaster's left out. I'm like, well, if we didn't buy the biggest toaster ever made.
You wouldn't notice it.
Wouldn't it be so much of a problem? But I will say this. I have what I've always wanted out of a toaster, Joe.
What's that?
I have... the 90s commercial toaster, because this thing uses its size to its advantage. When it pops the bread or whatever you put in there, it pops like a commercial out of the 90s.
Oh, nice. Get your plate ready.
Goes in the air, and you can grab it out of midair.
I love that.
And do that kind of thing. I've never had a toaster. I've always thought those toasters were fake in the commercials. I'm like, usually it lifts up. It never pops in the air, and then you throw the plate under it, and here you go.
It's a high-class toaster you got.
That's what my toaster does.
Well,
so I'm happy with it.
Yeah, I would be, too. I'd be imitating every commercial from the 90s.
Yeah.
We'll be back here tomorrow to start the weekend. David Bellavia is next, followed by Tom Bowerly, but they're all after the news with Lucas Buckley. Hey, one more day, I'll be on 97.1 FM Talk this afternoon, starting at 4, and I'll be joined by U.S. Senator Eric Schmidt. You can find that on the Odyssey app.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong, because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled-up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.